All right, let's look back now at Romans 10. Heart faith. Saving faith. God-given faith. Faith in Christ the Lord. Faith that saves. It comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. And the word hearing here is preaching. This faith comes by hearing the preaching of the gospel. That's what he's saying. The word hearing in verse 17 is used the same way that it's used in the preceding verses. Look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him? How shall they have faith in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. How beautiful are the feet of them that come from a far country to declare this gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But everybody hasn't obeyed the gospel. Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? But some have, because faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Hearing the preaching of the gospel. You see, God sends his prophets. And God sends his apostles and his pastors and teachers into the world to preach this gospel. This gospel of God, this gospel of grace, that men by hearing who Christ is, hearing what Christ has done, hearing why Christ came, hearing where Christ is, might believe. How are they going to believe in him of whom they've not heard? But by hearing, they believe. And those who truly hear with the heart and believe with the heart, they call on the name of the Lord. And they're saved. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So then, saving faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And that through the preaching of the word of God. The scripture says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Our Lord was a preacher. The apostles were preachers. And God has used preachers down through the years that his sheep might hear his word and believe. Don't ever, ever underestimate the power or the importance of the preaching of the gospel. Then he says in verse 18, but the question comes, have they not heard? Talking about Israel. Didn't they hear? Well, of course they did. Moses preached the gospel. Our Lord said, Moses wrote of me. David, Isaiah, all of God's Old Testament prophets preached. They heard. They heard. They heard the choice preachers. The best preachers that God Almighty had. And yet one of them said, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Paul tells us in Hebrews what the problem was. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. He tells us, they heard the gospel. Have they not heard? Yea, verily they heard. They heard God's choice preachers. Hebrews 4, verse 1 and 2. Paul, writing to the church, said, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Look back at chapter 3, verse 19, the last verse in chapter 3, verse Verse 19, so we see they could not enter in because of unbelief, but the gospel was preached to them. What's the problem? Verse 2, chapter 4, unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the gospel, the word preached. Hearing is the word. Did not profit them because they didn't believe, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. There's the problem. They didn't enter in. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but a lot of people hear who do not believe. Israel heard. The Gentiles heard too. Look at verse 18. Have they not heard? Yea, verily. Their sound, you see, you'll find this in Psalm 19. God has two books, the world book and the word book. The heavens declare the glory of God so that everybody's without excuse. And then the word goes forth into all the world. God has sent his prophets from the beginning into all the world. And men have heard. The sound went into all the earth, their words unto the end of the world. The Jews heard the gospel and the Gentiles heard the gospel. They certainly did. Did they not hear? They heard. But they didn't believe. The people of Noah's day heard, but they drowned. They didn't believe Noah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. His own? Certainly not. God's righteousness. The Egyptians heard Moses declare that God's coming through here at midnight. Put the blood on the door. They didn't believe it. And verse 19, I say, did not Israel know? Did not Israel know what? Three things. Did not Israel know God? Sure they knew God. They knew the true God. Turn back to Romans 9, and it gives you an account of what these people had. Romans 9, verse 4, who are Israelites? Listen, what did they have? To whom pertaineth the adoption? The glory? Where was the glory of God manifested? Over the mercy seat in Israel. The covenants? With whom were the covenants made? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David. The giving of the law, who received the law? Israel. The service of God, the tabernacle, the sacrifices, the priesthood, who had that? Israel. The promises, to whom were the promises made? Israel. Whose are the fathers? What was Isaiah? A Jew. David, a Jew. Moses, a Jew. Of whom concerning the flesh, Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. He didn't come as an Anglo-Saxon, as a Norwegian, as an Italian, Chinese, as a Jew. Jew. They heard. They knew the true God. His glory was manifested right in their midst. They killed the Passover. Did they not know the gospel? They knew the gospel, not spiritually, not experimentally, not in the heart, but they knew it in the head. Israel knew the gospel. A woman at the well said, the Messiah is coming. The Pharisees said, in reply to our Lord's question, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They said, son of David. They knew. They heard. They knew. They knew the true God. They knew the gospel. And they knew this. Thirdly, they knew that God would call the Gentiles too. That's right. Listen to what it says in our text in Romans 10, verse 19. Did not Israel know? Well, Moses said, listen. I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, by a foolish nation. I'll anger you. I'm going to call Gentiles too, God said. Moses told him that. And Isaiah, he told him that. He said, I was found of them that sought me not. That's Gentiles. I was made manifest to them that asked not after me. Gentiles. But what did he say to Israel? All day long, from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, all the way down, I've stretched forth my hand to a disobedient, rebellious, argumentative people. How does God stretch forth his hands to Israel throughout these years? By the sending of his prophets. One after another. And which of the prophets did not your fathers kill? But I sent them, God said. John the Baptist. You were willing for a season to rejoice in his life, but you finally killed him. Christ came to his own. Did they welcome him with open arms and open heart? Said, we're not going to have this man either reign over us. And the apostles. And they murdered every one of them but one. I've stretched forth my hands. Well, Proverbs, early on back here, Solomon wrote about it, about the Lord stretching forth his arms to this rebellious, argumentative, debating, quarreling people. He said in Proverbs 1, the Lord speaks, verse 24, because I've called and you refused. Proverbs 1:24. I've stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. You've set at naught all my counsel, would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, and distress and anguish cometh upon you, then you call upon me, but I will not answer. They'll seek me early, but they'll not find me, because they hated knowledge. They hated knowledge and would not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despise my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat of the fruit of their ways and be filled with their own devices. Did not Israel hear? They heard. Did they not know? They knew. Well, then comes here in verse 1 of chapter 11, an objection arises before the Apostle Paul by his adversaries, I guess. They said, well, has God cast away his people? Is God through with the Jews? Has God reprobated all the Jews? Is there nothing else for that great nation? Has God cast away all these people that he once called his people? God forbid. God forbid. That's Paul's usual way of answering an objection which is obviously wrong and foolish. Many times people would confront Paul with an objection to his preaching that was, to him, foolishness. For example, one fellow said one time, well, you preach salvation by grace alone, apart from works. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul said, God forbid. God forbid. What foolishness. Another fellow said, well, Israel didn't believe. Does their unbelief make God's covenant without effect? God forbid. God forbid. Another one said in Galatians, well, Christ saves us apart from works, the law. Is Christ therefore the minister of sin? God forbid. And here he says, Has God cast away his people? God forbid. He says, I'm a Jew. You're looking at one whom God didn't cast away. You're looking at one. I also am an Israelite. I'm of the seed of Abraham. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. God didn't cast me away. He not only called me, saved me, but he made me a preacher of the gospel, a minister of the gospel. And verse 2, here is such an important statement. Paul said, God hath not cast away his people, whom he foreknew. God has not and will not and does not cast away anybody whom he foreknew. Jew or Gentile. Turn back to Romans 8. Verse 28. Listen. Now all mankind, in a sense, are his people. His creatures. He created them. His subjects. He has to do with what he will, when he will. But all are not foreknown. All are not objects of his grace and love. Matthew 7, he'll say to me, I never knew you. So when this fellow raises the objection, then are you saying that God has cast away his people? He said, no. God hath not cast away his people whom he foreknew. For, Romans 8, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called them, he also justified. Whom he justified them, every one of them, he also glorified. Well, what shall we say to these things? Well, if God be for us, if God knows us and loves us and makes us objects of his grace, who can be against us? Who can be against us? So Paul answers that question. Even though Israel was chosen from among the nations, even though Israel had the prophets and the promises, even though Israel had the law and the tabernacle, even though Israel knew the true God and heard the gospel, they didn't believe. And they weren't his people. Because my sheep hear my voice. And they follow me. And I give them eternal life. Turn to Romans 2. Listen to this. Romans chapter 2, verse 28. He's not a Jew, which is one outwardly. That doesn't make a man a Jew. Romans 2, verse 28. He's not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Many of those people were outwardly Jews, but not inwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but true circumcision is a rending of the heart, an operation on the heart. The cutting away of the flesh of the heart. He is a Jew. He is an Israelite, which is one inwardly. Known of God. Loved of God. Predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. Called of God. Justified of God. Circumcision is that of the heart. In the spirit, not the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now, Romans 9, verse 6 and 7, listen. We read that while ago about what the Jews had. Romans 9, verse 4 and 5, the fathers, the prophets, the gift. Now read verse 6, Romans 9, 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they're not all Israel which are of Israel. Oh, that clears it up, doesn't it? Israel had all these advantages and all of these prophets But they didn't believe. And therefore, they're not all Israel, which are of Israel. Verse 7, neither because they're the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac, the miraculous birth, the promised son, born supernaturally by the power of God, that's his seed. That's whom he foreknew. And so he says here, Israelite, Gentile, whomever, my people are those whom I foreknew. My people are those whom I love with an everlasting love. My people are those whom I've chosen and given to Christ. And that's true Israel, spiritual Israel, and God's never cast away any of them. I'll never leave you and never forsake you. You see back here in our text in Romans 11, even old Elijah, it says here, verse 2, God hath not cast away his people whom he foreknew. He can't and won't. They're given to Christ. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? He made intercession to God for Israel? No, against them. He didn't pray for these rebels. He prayed against them. Instead of praying for them, he talked about their idolatry and their blasphemy, their contempt and their unbelief. And he too thought God was through with all of them. For he said, Lord, verse 3, they've killed your prophets, destroyed your altars, and I am the only one left. You're through with Israel. And there's not a soul in Israel that belongs to you but me. Well, he was wrong, wasn't he? But that's what he thought. That's what he thought. And I know some sovereign graces who think that today, that they're the only ones. But what came the answer? What's the answer God gave to Elijah when he made that statement? How'd God answer him? What saith the answer of God to him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Elijah, you're not alone. I have chosen and called and foreknew and reserved to myself 7,000 men that you don't even know about. God will not cast away any whom he foreknew. And today, even though it seems quite dark in most places, the Lord has a people whom he foreknew, whom he gave to Christ, for whom our Lord suffered, and their names are Israel, the seed of Christ. For it says in verse 5, even so, at this present time, right now, my friend, thank God, in Paul's day and my day, even so at this present time, there is a remnant, there is a minority, I know, among living, breathing, walking adults. But that remnant, that minority, that people are chosen of God from the foundation of the world and given to Christ, is according to an election of grace. Bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you. God chose us. God chose us in Christ. God chose us from the beginning. God chose us to make us like Christ, to conform us to his image. And God chose us according to the good pleasure of his own will. It's the election of grace. Turn to Romans 9 again. You can't preach Scripture without Scripture. The best commentary on Scripture is the Scripture. There's a remnant according to the election of grace. Romans 9, verse 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, The children, twins, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, the election of grace, might stand, not of works, but of him that called it, it was said to the mother, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Is God unfair? Here he goes again. God forbid. How can you accuse God of being unfair? He said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. Mercy is of God. According to his will, his purpose, not our will, his will. For the scripture saith to Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he'll harden. You see, this election of grace is not based on our will or our works, but solely on God's will, God's grace, and God's purpose given us in Christ before the world began. That's what Paul said to Timothy over there in 2 Timothy 1. He said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, don't be ashamed of the gospel, verse 8. Nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us, listen, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began. At this present time, right now, here, all over this world, there's a remnant. And it's according to his purpose, his will, and the election of grace. Thank God for the election of grace. Christ is my first elect, God said, and then he chose us in our head. Now listen to verse 6. And if this election of grace is by grace, if it's all of grace, if salvation is by God's grace alone, then it's no more of works. Then our works and our deeds and our merit is not involved in any way, is it? If God chose us before we were born, what happened after we were born made no contribution to his choosing us. If God chose us before the foundation of the world and gave us to Christ based on his merits and his blood and his righteousness and his deeds and his love, not our love, we didn't love him. Not our choice, we didn't choose him. Not our seeking him, we wouldn't, there's none that seek God. Not our works, we hadn't, didn't have any. It's all of grace. And if it's of grace, it's not of works. Otherwise, grace is not grace. Isn't that what it says? If it's of grace, it's not of works. Otherwise, grace is not grace. If our salvation comes to us by our works, by our decision, by our assistance, if we make what God will to be put in operation, it's not grace. It's got to be like a free gift. Bought, paid for, wrapped up, and given. If you reach in your pocket and hand me anything, it's not a gift. If I hold it back and say, now, I've got this all ready for you, my buddy. But you're going to have to get on your knees and beg me for it. Oh, no. No. That's not grace. You'll be willing. If you cherish the gift and know your own poverty, you'll receive it. Not, If you can find any reason in you, about you, of you, why God should save you and make you an object of His blessings and give you to Christ other than His own will, His own purpose, and His own grace, you've missed grace. You've fallen from grace. It's not grace. That verse is so plain. Read it again. If it's by grace, it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is not grace. But if it be of works, then forget the grace. I wish preachers today, what they're preaching, would quit using the word grace. It's not grace, it's works. You do this and God will do that. That's not grace, that's works. God's done all He can do, now it's up to you. That's not grace, that's works. God's got it all packaged up and sitting on a shelf. You have to come and pay for it. I'm sorry. That's not grace. Verse 7. What then? Israel, those who heard, those who labored and worked, they have not obtained that which they seek for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest are blinded. We conclude four things from all that the apostle has said. Listen to these four things. I'll let you go. I conclude four things. Number one, God hath not cast away anybody whom He foreknew, whether they're found among Jew or Gentile. Christ prayed in John 17, Father, You've given Me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as You gave Me, all whom You foreknew. And I pray not for the world, I pray for them which Thou hast given Me. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them Me, and I have manifested Your word to them. God has not cast away His people. Secondly, Israel hath not obtained what they sought for. You know why? They sought it by works and not by faith. That's why. Look back at Romans 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. Listen to this. Romans 9, 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have obtained the righteousness, even the righteousness which is the faith of Christ. But Israel, which followed after the law, had the tabernacle and the priest. They have not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Wherefore? They sought it not by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. That's the problem. Can't have grace and works. And Israel did not attain what they sought. Righteousness, acceptance with God. Why? They sought it through works. The stupid, ignorant, lawless Gentiles, they have attained to righteousness. Why? They believe God. They believe Christ. Isn't that something? These people promoted and programmed and ceremonialized and did all these things to find acceptance with God and lost it. These folks over here, God called them, gospel preached to them. They said, praise God, I believe that. Righteous. The third thing, verse 7, Israel hath not obtained what they seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. What shall we say that Abraham our father hath obtained? Righteousness. How did he get it? By works? No, by faith. He believed God, counted to him for righteousness. And what's this last line? And the rest were blinded. The election. Election of God, people whom He foreknew, people whom He chose, people whom He gave to Christ, they have attained righteousness by faith. And the rest, wherever you find them, are blinded, groping in darkness. And the very things that ought to be the means of grace have become stumbling blocks and snares. And today, preachers are reading the Word. They're going through the motions. They're making signs. They're making prayers. But they're seeking acceptance with God in those things. And those things, the reading of the Word ought to point me to Christ. Prayer ought to lead me to Christ. The law, instead of being a standard by which I live, is a standard by which I am shut up and stripped and sent to Christ. And these very things that ought to be means of grace become stumbling blocks. And the people are blinded. You can't see. 512. Let's sing that hymn in closing. 512. Saved by grace. Saved by an election of grace. If it's grace, it's not works. It's not works. It doesn't contribute one thing.